What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Take command. We are available wherever you get your audio. Please subscribe, rate, review, leave comments on the pod. Do all of that podcasty stuff. Of course, you can watch us on YouTube in high definition as well. Handsome Logan and myself on the 106.7 The Fan and Team 980 YouTubes. All right, Logan, I want to get into Deebo Samuel's insertion into the offense. We only saw him get the football once in the preseason among a couple of snaps, literally, that he was out there for. I don't think it's a coincidence, though. The dress rehearsal, the first play against Cincinnati, the one time they kind of game planned any looks, the first play was a jet action end around to Deebo Samuel. I'm just excited to see what they do with him. When you go back and study, you know, his usage, what do you think they're going to try to get done with Deebo early this season?
Yeah, so this could be a long answer because there's levels to this, right? It's like, how do you want to, like, what does he do for you? I think that's the crux of the question. And for me, what Deebo does better maybe than any player in the NFL at the moment is he creates favorable matchups. And so what I mean by that is I can trot out, let's say, 12 personnel, right? And Deebo's in. Deebo's like a receiver, right? And so it might feel like that's 12 personnel, and I have to match that with 12 personnel because he can play outside the numbers receiver. I've got, you know, let's say whoever, Jennings in San Francisco, he's playing receiver. We got Kittle, we got Juszczyk in, and we've got another running back in, right? And all of a sudden I can motion him to the backfield, and now we're in 22 personnel. And so I've matched you in 12 personnel, which means I'm probably a nickel personnel, like I'm matching you with smaller personnel defensively. And now all of a sudden I'm in a big personnel to run the football just because of what he's able to do as a ball carrier and on the perimeter. Let's say we go in the reverse. Let's say, oh, Deebo's in the game. It's short yardage situation. We're in 12 personnel. And all of a sudden, like, he's the back in that personnel. So we have three wide receivers, and he's lines up in the backfield. I'm going to match you defensively with a linebacker. Now I just motion you to the slot, and all of a sudden we have our number one receiver drawing the matchup of a terrible coverage player. Most linebackers can't cover a number one wide receiver. So if I'm Cliff, like, that's the flexibility he gives you, is basically saying, how defensively do we match personnel with a player who can line up outside the numbers and kill us, but is also a very dexterous ball carrier as a runner? And obviously the interesting question is here is where does that dial actually fall? Are you turning it up to 11? Is he playing running back, you know, 35% of the snaps? I don't know if they're going to go that high, but that's the type of flexibility that he gives you in terms of drawing a matchup. There was a play that I watched from 2024, so last year, where they line him up as a running back. He gets a matchup with a linebacker. They run a shallow cross by the number one receiver, and he just runs a wide and go from the backfield, and he's drawing a linebacker, and he just runs right by him, catches it for an explosive play. Like, you're not going to find an easier way to draw favorable matchups with personnel. And then you've got him, you've got guys like Zach Ertz, you've got guys like Austin Eckler. And I think that's really the way offensive football is transitioning, is finding guys that can dictate personnel, dictate matchups, and then win those matchups once they've been dictated.
Among wide receivers last year, 42 carries led the NFL, which shouldn't surprise anybody. For Deebo Samuel, to your point, he, you know, had his own position name, wide back, they started calling him, right? The wide running back. But, you know, I'm curious. I thought in camp, we didn't see nearly as much of the San Francisco Deebo Samuel stuff that I think we're going to see a lot of in the regular season. He just lined up and played receiver a lot, and I thought he looked really good. And if you go back to 2023, so this has been a couple of seasons now, but he did a lot of that in San Francisco. I mean, his all-pro year in 21, he averaged 18 yards a catch, had 77 grabs for 1,400 yards. He was running a lot of those, like, Kyle Shanahan vintage dig routes, middle of the field, play-action pop stuff, and he did it very effectively. Now, there's questions about what he is now compared to then at 29 years old, but I'm excited to see it because he has proven that he can play the wide receiver position traditionally as well as be the versatile Swiss Army knife that they brought him in here to be, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think when you look at what he does well, like, I don't know if this is how Kyle used him, but he ran the hell out of a dig. You know, whether that's the
I love him doing that because he boxes perimeter. Guys out. He's got the size and the physicality. He can make a contested catch between the hashes. Like, he's been so good at that in his career.
Yeah, run the hell out of a deep dig. You know, we're talking that kind of 18 to 20 yard dig. He runs a drift really nice. He runs that slot kind of 12 to 14 yard dig. And it was interesting kind of watching the film as I went back to 2021. Where he had like that really productive year and he had all those carries and explosive runs and explosive receptions and really went bonkers. And I was like, a lot of this seems to cross over maybe with what Zach Ertz does, right? He runs a little bit of choice from the slot. He runs the deep, he runs the spin concept, right? He runs kind of that box fade, right? And so I think when you get all of those elements, you just say, okay, like in terms of skill set, everyone says he's not a true wide receiver. If you have him running a route tree that works for him, yeah, he's a true wide receiver. But I don't know if I feel like I'm not getting the most out of him if I put him out there and say, hey, just play Z, right? I want him in the slot. I want him on a nickel. I want him boxing people out. Like you said, I want to use him. I want him using his big frame to run a choice, to run a under, you know, like run like an old chair concept. So corner by number three, under 5 yard under by number two, catch that ball against Philadelphia in 2023, caught one, and it looked like just a benign first down, right? Like no big deal. He ends up breaking the tackle of the nickel player, runs through the safety's face and scores a 45 yard touchdown. Like that's what he gives you, right? It's like this ability to, once I'm in space and I've got some separation, like I'm a tough tackle. And I think you saw that in the preseason with the run. I think you see it on every year of his film, you know, that I've watched going back to 2021.
Yeah, he was in the slot last year over 60% of the time as I look it up right now, about 680 snaps, 424, you know, out wide at over 60% of his snaps. And the slot was less than that. But it's funny, I'm looking at the game by game where they lined him up. And it's pretty clearly to me that they either had packages they liked or matchups they liked. So in week one and in week 16 last year, he had double digit snaps in the backfield. But then there are also games where it's three, four, one snap in the backfield with 19 in the slot and 35 out wide. You know, week 14, he's back to five in the backfield, 10 in the slot, 33 out wide. There's not really a rhyme or reason. And with him, I'd have to dig deeper. Maybe he was banged up and so that there's some usage concern or difference there. But it seems to me like there is this chameleon element here where one week he's in the backfield on 10 snaps and the next it might be two. And the slot is kind of undulating as well. It's everywhere from 9 to 20 snaps, right? So I kind of love that portable. It's kind of what you're talking about, right? It's you just don't know how they're going to use him until he lines up.
Yeah, correct. And I think if I remember correctly, some of the increased snap numbers were because they had injuries at running back positions. So they needed someone to come in and fill that role. And I think when you look at that Kyle offense, one of the things that stuck out to me after watching Debo's film was just how reliant they are on having an explosive playmaker at the running back position. And again, it goes back to that matchup thing we were talking about. Like if Christian McCaffrey's hurt, Debo Samuel can come in and he can run some of those choices, those slants, and beat linebackers one-on-one, beat a safety one-on-one. And defensively, you have to kind of cultivate your coverage structure where he has to be treated as a running back. Because again, you go back and watch some of that stuff and you're like, man, like this is a running back run. This is a trap. This is a wham. This is an inside the tackle run. And he's busting it for 20 yards. And so that's a very unique skill set. You can get guys, receivers that can play in the backfield and attack the perimeter, run an outside zone, run a toss crack, which Debo's excellent at. But the idea that you can get somebody and have him play true running back, I don't know how much he wants to be doing that, but it does give a lot of flexibility and dexterity to the offense. And we talked about Cliff and like how many plays is he carrying, what's he doing. Think about just taking Debo, putting him in the backfield, and all of a sudden that wham that Chris Rodriguez ran is now way more problematic because how do you match up with the personnel? And it gives it a new look. And also, if you hit the wham that cleanly in terms of blocking service, as much as C-Rod has gotten faster, I would imagine Debo's taking that to the house for a touchdown.
Logan and Grant Paulson on Take Command. We're just diving into Washington's offense and some things. As you were bringing up 21, so I just looked that up. it's got me thinking about something. Another fascinating thing, you know, when we're all coaching and pretending to be OCs and play callers from our couch, that we don't really think about that much is, like, at least in my mind, I'm going, okay, how do I get to the sticks on this play? Mm-hmm. How do I get a first down? How do I score a touchdown on this drive? Whereas there is also a 10,000 foot view that these coaches need over the course of a season to get where they need to go. And what I mean by that is, in the case of a Debo, like, you can't just have an awesome September with him if it means you're running him into the ground. I bring this up because in 2021, the year we talked about, he had a total of 7 plays that he was in the backfield for going into week 10. From week 17, the final week, through 4 playoff games, or I should say week, you know, 2 regular season games and 3 playoff games through the conference championship, he's in the backfield for 10, 15, 13, 12, and 11 plays. Yeah. So, I mean, you start to really, okay, what do we do best? Now, there's no saving anybody. Like, this is a semifinal of the conference. This is a conference championship game. So I wonder how, if you're Cliff, you got to add, subtract, you got to hit the gas pedal, hit the brakes too. That's part of this thing that we don't think about when we're going, it's 3rd and 4, let's go get 5.
Yeah, and I think it's, to me, with him and his skill set, he's one of those players where you almost want to give him the ball every play because of how physical he is. But also, it's a great point. It's something, you know, like coach high school football, it's something that you're always having to consider with some of your better football players. You want to give them the ball all the time, but they got to play. You need him for the playoff push, right? So, like, you're kind of constantly doing a pitch count. I feel like Debo falls into that that bucket really, really well because, again, when you watch him, man, it's like, man, for a receiver, he is insanely physical. Like, he runs so hard.
So violent, yeah.
And you're like, this is not sustainable for the whole year. So you got to be – I think he just got that dog in him, you know, like that meme with the x-ray and it's the pit bull in there or whatever.
Right.
And you can't, like, say, hey, Debo, like, take it easy. It's week 4. It's like he's going to hit it 100 miles an hour. So you got to be really selective about your touches. And I think in this offense, the other thing I'd point out too is
– on Tuesday, August 26th, it's FanDuel Futures Day, a new holiday for football fans. It's 24 hours of deals on all your football season predictions. So take a flyer on the MVP race. Jaden Daniels is 10-1. Crown your champion in August, the Commanders, 19-1 odds. Or parlay your division winner dark horses like Washington together. Mark your calendars. This is your day for your hunches and hot takes, your calls, and your odds. Visit the FanDuel app today and start planning your futures bets now. Because Futures Day is one day, and one day only. FanDuel, play your game.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know, think about, just as an example, like, think about they were running a lot of, like, Wanda, like with the zone read, like pre-snap in the preseason where they've got, like, that little bubble to the perimeter. Like, I don't care. Like, if Debo's running that bubble, like, that's a 15-yard gain on some of that stuff. Like, he's going to break a tackle. He's going to fall forward. We're going to get the first down. And even though, like, he's not in the backfield, he's affecting the composition of this offense and the productivity and the efficiency of the offense just by being involved in stuff like that. Think about, like, Terry last year versus Pittsburgh, where he runs that little RPO slant and takes it to the house. Like, you've just added another piece that can bring that dynamism to the offense. So, like, I think people say, oh, it's from the backfield, he'll be this. From the backfield, he'll be this. Like, I love him, the idea of him, on some of these pre-snap, like, just, like, count looks. You know what I'm saying? Oh, it's 2/3. Let's throw it out there real quick. Like, think about Terry against Detroit. Like, that's great. And that's gonna read like a run in terms of stat tracking for this offense, which is awesome. Like, I should rephrase that. If I'm the OC, I'm tracking those explosive plays from the receivers as runs. So I just think, like, that's the stuff that you want to think, oh, how much backfield usage is he going to have? Like, no, like, this offense uses receivers like that anyway, but in a different kind of light, and they find ways to get them in space, and him in space is the ultimate thing I'm trying to get to.
So there aren't a whole lot of other new faces in terms of weaponry that I think we can really look at in terms of offensive changes. I want to bring up Jalen Lane in a moment, but one thing I've been thinking about is the offensive line. So Josh Connerly at right tackle and the athleticism and the ability to move that he provides. I texted a buddy of mine who's a coach in the league after that pick, who I know, you know, their team was looking at some tackles as well. And he's like, I love that for them, like fit wise, he's going to be awesome in their screen game. And I just wonder, like, if you've seen that so far based on what you've watched, and then also Brandon Coleman going to guard. I mean, do either of those personnel moves where now you've got a new left guard, ideally, probably a better left guard, and then a new right tackle, if Connerly's the guy every down from week one on, what could change based on the added athleticism there?
I mean, I think everyone wants to point to the screen game right away, which I think is smart. I think that's something it does give you. But the thing that I think about all the time with athletic offensive linemen is pin, pull, perimeter, crack, toss stuff. And so I thought of it actually when I was watching Debo and his most effective runs from 2021. Think about crack toss is like, I'm a tight end. I'm in a two-point stance. I crack the defensive end. The tackle pulls to the perimeter. He blocks the corner, kind of create this nice alley because then the guard pulls in behind or the center pulls in behind and is leading up on the safety. So we're able to create like a wall for the back to read. And I look at Tunsil. I look at Coleman. I look at Connerly. I look at Wiley. That's a sneaky one there. And Biotish. And ultimately Cosby when he gets healthy. And that's the one that I think is maybe being slept on or slightly underrated is they ran a lot of pin pull anyway, but more like downhill kind of what I would classify as like mid zone pin pull stuff. And now I think with, you know, some of these weapons, you're talking about Debo, you're talking about Austin Eckler, you're talking about Bill Kroski Merritt and the offensive line, the ability to get those big dudes out in space and block. Like I was doing something for Command Center and went back and watched all of Connerly's plays from the preseason. And was kind of like blown away by the athleticism that I saw. Like he's not this player, but like you're always comparing people to the best, you know, which is unfair to them. But like Trent Williams and his ability to move in space, like there were shades of that kind of basketball player ability to sink your hips, make contact at the second level on some of these screens. Like they ran a screen versus New England and that corner didn't stand a chance, man. Like he just got out there before the ball was even thrown. And it's very hard to find people like that. So I think screens, perimeter runs, crack tosses, anytime you're pulling the tackle, like it's even on like tackle trap stuff, like that Baltimore got a lot of miles out of a couple years ago. And I think about if I have Jaden Daniels, who do I want to compare him to? It's probably Lamar as a runner. And they got a lot of miles out of like reading that backside end. He's coming down. He crashes following the tackle. I can pull it. We've got an RPO set up to the perimeter. So it just gives you a lot of movable chess pieces that can get to spots, which is weird to talk about with offensive linemen because you usually say that for receivers. But I think that's what it gives you, more dexterity in the run game, kind of number one, first and foremost.
All right, then real quick, and we can be shorter on this one, but Jalen Lane, do you see a role for him early on with his straight line speed? Because, you know, the idea, I think, is he's kind of Debo, too. If Debo's healthy and on the field, do they actually have anything for him in the early going here, do you think?
I think that'll be really interesting because what in your mind, what is he? He's the fourth, fifth wide receiver. And depending
fourth,
on. Yeah. And so to me, you don't like game plan touches for your fourth guy or your fifth guy. I do think as the season goes, like, will his role potentially expand? Yeah, I think that's entirely possible. I do think early in the season, you're probably looking at something very akin to Deami Brown early last year, where it's like, I'm the big kind of vertical speed guy running these deep posts. Like, you feel my juice into the defense and we're creating throwing windows underneath. And then obviously, like, there's the bubble stuff that Deami did so well with, the screen stuff that happened last year. And so does that start to grow for him? I would say yeah. Like, and then if he does well with it, that package will start to grow and you'll get more opportunity. But I think it's definitely going to be a slow roll to start.
All right, next, let's get into the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, not only some things they're going to try to do up front where they're going to put as many D linemen out there in the situations where they can thrive as possible, but also on the back end, better corner play. What will that do for the play caller, Joe Witt Jr.? That's next. He's Logan. I'm Grant. This is Take Command.